Good afternoon. On October 20th, 2014, two cases of bacterial endocarditis were reported by an astute hospital physician to the New Jersey Department of Health. The physician noticed that both cases tested positive for Enterococcus faecalis, a gram-positive organism that typically inhabits the GI tract and is estimated to be responsible for only 5 to 10% of endocarditis cases. The physician also noted that both cases received dental extractions at the same private oral surgery office months earlier. After notifying the New Jersey Board of Dentistry, it was revealed that the same oral surgeon had been under investigation for a patient complaint of bacterial endocarditis with E. faecalis post-oral surgery. So as a result of the new cases being found, the Board of Dentistry opened a new complaint investigation in conjunction with our investigation at Communicable Disease Service at the New Jersey Department of Health. I also want to note that single cases of bacterial endocarditis are not reportable in New Jersey, but any outbreak of disease is considered immediately reportable. Here's a brief description of the three cases. All three cases received extractions with IV sedation, although patient A received a bone graft as well, so that patient's procedure was a little more invasive. Patient C was diagnosed with previous heart murmur, but no other cases had any risk factors for endocarditis. All cases were described as being previously in good physical condition prior to their oral surgery, and unfortunately, all three needed major heart surgeries, leaving them in compromised conditions at the end. All cases received treatment by the same oral surgeon at the same practice location. This oral surgeon routinely performed a wide variety of procedures, including extractions, implants, and even on rare occasions, Botox injections. All instrument reprocessing was conducted on-site by office nursing staff. So shortly after notification, members from the New Jersey Communicable Disease Service, the Division of Consumer Affairs Enforcement Bureau, which represents our Board of Dentistry, and local Department of Health performed an unannounced site visit at the oral surgery practice. So as you can see, numerous areas of deficiencies were noted. However, some of the more alarming findings were that controlled substances were drawn up to a day in advance of procedures, single-dose vials were used more than one patient, and sterile catheters and needles were removed from packaging, from storage. They would just unwrap all the catheters and instruments, throw them in cardboard boxes in their storage room. So here's an example of some of the controlled substances that were drawn in advance from the patient. They were wrapped in the gauze that you can see on the counter to bundle for each patient, and then they were left for up to a day at a time. According to the office staff, whatever wasn't used on the patient was discarded after. This is an example of one of the draws in the patient rooms. Multi-dose vials were drawn in patient care areas and not dated, and they were stored with other items such as syringes. A lot of the draws in the patient care rooms looked like this. They reminded me of like junk draws you would find in your kitchen if they had syringes and multi-dose vials in them. It was this bad all over the facility. So our preliminary report recommended the surgeon to discard any previously opened sterile instruments and medications, as well as to hire an IP consultant. The Board of Dentistry actually wanted to do a revisit of the facility with some outside experts to report back to the board and show the progress that the surgeon had made. So Communicable Disease Service went back to the facility 2 months later along with investigators from the Enforcement Bureau and their outside experts. The facility did make some positive improvements, such as eliminating their pre-filled syringes and discarding open sterile equipment. However, they had yet to hire an infection preventionist, and they were still storing and preparing multi-dose vials in patient care areas. So Communicable Disease Service sent another report to the oral surgeon highlighting findings and stressing the need to hire the infection prevention consultant despite the improvements that were made at the facility. The Board of Dentistry, through our Deputy Attorney General office, gave the same recommendations in an interim consent order to the surgeon. So this was really a co-investigation from the start, close collaboration with our partners at the Board of Dentistry and the Deputy Attorney General office was very important during this investigation. One key finding from the investigation was that the oral surgeon and his staff both believed that their practice was very common among the oral surgery community, and so more infection prevention expertise is probably going to be needed in those settings. And I'd just like to acknowledge all my co-authors and partners in the investigation.